I joined Ely Sailing Club in 1958 when my mum and my father bought an enterprise. Anyway, after a year, I then started crewing for Martin, who I eventually married. And I learnt to sail by just crewing for him. I've never been on a sailing course, which they do at the sailing club these days, and I just learnt by experience. I can't remember when I first went solo, but I remember that I was usually nearly a lap behind everybody else in a race. But I gradually worked my way up the fleet, and I have won the odd race or two. I've won the ladies' plate once or twice. But then, as I said, when I was 35, my 14-year-old daughter beat me, and that's when I started to feel old. But that's not really old. But I crewed for Martin for 2 or 3 years. But then, of course, I became pregnant. And, of course, I remember crewing for him when I was pregnant at Ranelagh. I was about 3 months pregnant, and it was a very calm day. So then after that, he had different crews. And when the girls were big enough, they crewed for him. We went to quite a few championships. When we discovered that they had a sailing week at Loch Tamil, we had a holiday up there, 2 or 3 years on the trot. I remember one race, all the adults had to sail in an Optimist. I managed to capsize it. And of course, when I capsized it, I realized I could stand on the bottom. And it was. And I remember one of the prizes that week was a side of beef. Instead of taking the money, gave it to the person who was in charge, and she took a great lump of beef out of her deep freeze, which we brought home, and it was absolutely beautiful. And one of the first things I ever won was when I crewed for Martin at Hunt Stanton in the Northwest Norfolk Week, and we won the race, and I won a carving set, which was a carving knife, fork and steel, and I even still use it now, 50 odd years later. One time we did water skiing, and we also had windsurfers at the club, but the wind at Ely so comes and goes, and so all windsurfers went down and sailed at Hunt Stanton instead. But this one chap tried the other year, and he gave up as well because it was just not a big enough piece of lake water to get going. So anyway, they say that if you can sail at Ely, you can sail anywhere, apart from not having any tides. But when the wind's in the southwest, it comes and then it hits the cliff, and then, of course, it then bounces back, and so you can see the wind on the water going in two directions. So if you can cope with that, you can cope with anything. Over the years, I became one of the first ladies onto the general committee, and over the years I've been, well, I still am the membership secretary. I've been the fleet captain of the National 12s, and now I'm the fleet captain of the model yachts. We have radio controlled boats on a Tuesday evening, and that's great fun because it's made some of the elderly members of the club come back to sailing again. So that I've got 87-year-olds who gave up sailing 20-odd years ago, but they can come back and use their model yachts. And the racing on a Tuesday night is very, very competitive. And I usually have to end up being the race officer. But I do have a model yacht, but I have to wait for my daughter's partner to get it all ready for me. But I'm quite happy to start the races. I'm also a trustee of the sailing club, and the press officer, and on the both committees, and I think it's about time I did less. That will do for that bit. to the berths, you know, come from the bridge down here, straight across the pits.
Right.
Because that's a really long run. But so we usually start the other end of the pit, so you can beat up to the other the pit nearest the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
As I can remember, it was about 1958, after a laying up supper, the sailing club burnt down. It was just a wooden Nissen hut. And then after that, we built a prefab Nissen hut, which lasted us for years. And then in about the early 1970s, we extended it and bricked it all in. So it's now a brick building, and we haven't extended it much since. But because the clay shrinks in the summer, we tend to get big cracks in the walls. But we don't think this club or house will move much nearer the edge. We hope. Well, the sailing club started at the bottom of the pit, bottom of the cliff face the first year, and they just sort of kept everything inside. Well, they called it the chicken run. It was just sort of a bit of chicken wire that kept everything together. It was very basic. And then they had a little shed that they started the races from. And then we bought the starters box that we've got now. We bought that from Hunt Stanton Sailing Club. And they bought that to Ely, and we still use it.
What's the starters box?
The tall bit that's next to the clubhouse.
Ah, right, yes.
The piece with the glass windows that...
And what's that? What use is that?
You put the course numbers up on the front of it. You press to ring a bell, but now we've got it all automated, and you just press a button, and it tells you in 5 seconds they're going to hoot the hooter, and it goes off automatically, and then you can, when they finish the race, you press another button. And that records their finishing time. Oh. So it's all automated now. You press certain buttons and you can get the corrected time. I mean, years ago we used to have to look up all these correct finishing times in a book of tables, and that used to take ages. So, but now it's quite clever.
Yeah.
I don't do much about it. No.
I seem to remember myself hearing the bell.
Oh, yes.
So how long do you think it's been automated?
Oh, but you still have to sound the bell when they finish.
Right.
You sound the bell to tell them they've finished, and you also press a button, which goes to the computer.
I see. Yeah.
So that's the only time we use the bell. And then the hooter is quite noisy. You can probably hear that. Well, people have come past and said, "Oh, is that what it's for?" So it's because you start with a 5 minute gun. And then a four-minute gun, and then a 1-minute gun, and then a start.
And the gun is
This hooter that makes
the
noise.
Right, the hooter. Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately, if you happen to be standing beneath it, it nearly blasts your ears out. But it's quite easy, really.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember any particular wildlife or anything that you've seen, or do you just take it all for granted?
No, I mean, on Monday of this week, they saw some kingfishers. They were absolutely delighted to see that, these children that were doing the course. There's been a very... an egret was down there, and some sort of heron that got blown off course, and all these twitchers turned up and went mad for it.
Right.
I've seen mink down there, because I remember once Martin was furious because he thought somebody had put this dead fish in his boat, and then he realised it wasn't, it was a minket stored this smelly fish in his boat.